CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are live, and I'm in Cape Town this morning. So, if you're wondering why the background is slightly different, that is why. I'm down here for a little event that we did yesterday, and today I'm scheduled for a couple of meetings, so I thought, let me get all of this stuff. Many birds killed with one stone. So, I hope your Thursday morning is off to a good start. We've got Fumi in the studio in Johannesburg. We'll come to her just now. And, of course, we've got the Birding Platform a little bit later on. It's going to be lots of fun. And we are rejoined this morning by an old favorite on the Birding Platform, none other than Kumlani Madozi, who is always good value. He's written a book, which is called Lessons from Past Heroes. So we'll get to hear from him just now. Well, that's going to be lots of fun. Comment section is in full flight this morning already, bright and early, getting things done. We also have, as another addition to this morning's show, a little special of the window seat with travel.co.za, which we'll be telling you about a little later. So, yeah, the view, I, by the way, have to compliment this place. So I haven't been to this part of Cape Town for a long, long time. I'm in Century City, which is sort of in a part of Cape Town which was kind of forlorn for a long time. There were shops here. They famously used to be the Ratanga Junction. I remember we did one big New Year's party here about, I don't know, 14 years or something ago.
A little more.
And what they've done since then is obviously the urban planners have been working hard in the background, making things happen, because this place has just suddenly become a hub. There's suddenly lots of traffic. There's accommodation. There's commercial enterprises going on. There's even an industrial area just a little bit further up. And it seems like Cape Town has really got its act together when it comes to this kind of urban planning, because this is the future of cities. You disintermediate and you create a whole lot of nodes around the main one. And it's pretty beautiful. I mean, I have to say they've put in great roads, public infrastructure in terms of water, sanitation, electricity, all of that stuff. They've got a petrol refinery up in the industrial area up the road, which apparently shut down during COVID. They got it restarted again. And yeah, the place is very, very impressive. It's nice to see that there are parts of South Africa which are developing and growing. So let's see if we can get Pumi on. Hello, Pums.
Me and the elf on the mic.
Yes.
Good morning.
Elf on the mic. Not Elf on the Shelf. How are you?
I am a day late to this week. Had I not received Dory's message late last night about talking points, I wouldn't have known that this is Thursday today. And but I'm here. I'm excited. Good
morning. Did you just lose track of the day? Did you lose track of which day of the week it was?
Completely. It's now, you know, we're now in that part. We are now in the part of the year that's a mad rush to get everything done before people go off to on the holidays.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
So this is, sorry everybody that I am late, but I am here and I'm always excited to be here.
Are you all sorted and ready to get going for the festive season? Have you got your dates lined up, your plans, your who you having supper with, who you having lunch with, who you inviting, who you buying presents for? All of that stuff. Are you sorted?
Are you mad? I don't even have my Christmas tree up and I'm horrified.
Yeah, I only put mine up on the 12th. We had this discussion the other day. 12 days after, and we're done. That's enough.
Listen, I was ready to put mine up after we won the World Cup. I was done. I was already in the mood. I was like, this is it. It's December. We're in. And then...
Well, I don't know if you can see here, but there's a big Christmas tree in the background here as well.
I see that Christmas tree. You're also around the corner from the Spur head office at Century City over there. Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I must tell you, there are a whole lot of new factories. I noticed the Puma are down here, yeah. And I think what the Western Cape government is doing, and again, to their credit, is they are seeing an opportunity here to take big business away from Joburg. And to say to people, well, you know what we'll do? We'll give you certain benefits and advantages to moving here, apart from the obvious ones about better roads, and infrastructure and all of the stuff that Joburg is really struggling to provide. I mean, we can't even provide ourselves at this point with a mayor. So how are we going to bother with all the other stuff that we have
it's
to do
very
in
smart.
Urban
Listen,
South Africa?
I was actually thinking one of the people that we saw yesterday was a big IT business. And obviously all of the stuff that they're struggling with are all of those things. It's water, it's lights, it's which is, you know, the South African reality. But I was thinking, and so one of their problems is around talent. And I was thinking this morning driving here, you know what is the thing that South Africa still has to attract people from all over the world is we just have an incredibly amazing countries. And now with remote work, we've got an incredible climate and we really do have a good quality of life. Can you imagine you had a campus, if you had an IT campus in Mpumalanga near the game farms and all of that, you could get IT professionals from all over the world to come and do a stint with you for 6 months.
I mean, what you're talking about is like Wakanda, and it's in our grasp if we just got our shit together. And part of this,
Wakanda.
I mean, part of this is having smart people run things instead of morons. Mm. And we've got morons at the moment. I don't know if you saw, but yesterday the ANC was celebrating like mad animals because they had managed. Yeah, they managed to pass the NHI. The parliamentary caucus even sent a picture out. Saying how they're celebrating. I mean, it's just, you know, if that's worth celebrating, I don't know what is. Here's a picture. The NHI, the ANC Parliamentary Caucus welcomes the passing of the NHI bill. We'll leave no one behind.
So that was the last order before they closed, because yesterday was their last
sitting. They need to have something to talk about at the election.
Bye-bye.
And they're going to spin this like it's a good story.
They just need to pay their bills. They may not make it into the new year. They've got bigger problems than that.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this yesterday, and Congo Chris actually brings it up in the comments. He says, can we talk about the looming ANC liquidation and potential disqualification from the election if they do go into liquidation? So is it true that if you are a political party and you're in liquidation, you can't stand for election?
I think it stands to reason that would be it. I asked that question about 2 weeks ago when the liquidation story kept getting momentum. And I don't know. I haven't had the chance to look up that particular part of what the IEC has to say or what the electoral bill has to say about an organization that obviously, because once you get liquidated, you as an organization, you're actually no longer a going concern. So how are they going to do that?
Oh.
Listen, because liquidation story, I cannot believe that all these news agencies, ENCA, Newsroom, all of those guys it's like Christmas. If I was an executive producer of a news show, there would be a different angle to the story every hour on the hour. Like, can you?
Yeah. Big deal.
On Monday when all those sheriff trucks arrived outside Luthuli House, you could have had an entire day of content around the sheriff, right? And how the sheriff works. And had vox pops in the streets asking people if they've ever had a sheriff come knocking. Did you know that the sheriff's van actually is written sheriff?
and you would have such funny comments from people, because it seems to me that there are so many people who are taking absolute glee in how the ANC are going to be liquidated. I mean, clearly some people are just thrilled. But how did we not know that this is the best way to get them out of the election? How did we not know this? Everybody's campaigning and they're wondering about, you know, which party to vote for and voter registration and let's get the messaging right on this front and that. All we had to do is get them to spend all of their money.
Last night,
which the ANC is very good at, by the way. That's like asking a vampire bat to suck blood. They do it anyway.
When I saw the video of Figile's press conference, saying he'd put his head on the block that the ANC would never get liquidated. I was just like, I hope somebody draws the cartoon of like a guy with his axe up. And they've got two judgments against them. They've got nowhere else to go. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Don't want a cartoon. He said he put his head on the block.
So we want to. Have you got?
I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him literally. No, I'm not going to kill him. I don't want to kill anybody. But I would like to see. I'd like to see the sheriff bring down the financial axe on the ANC. Wouldn't you? Tabo says the whole sheriff thing is a ruse. What do you think of that?
Oh, except for the fact that it is not. Except for the fact that it is not.
You want to see the clip? Watch this quickly. Here it is. Let me just show you this. Yes, forgive me.
I can put my head on the block and no one will liquidate the African National Congress. As the ANC, we are not going to an AI-generated Zulu, artificial intelligence. They've got their case, they've won their case in different platforms. Our biggest worry was to surrender to a fraudulent matter, which will lead the ANC paying millions of rands to something that never happened. If we procured posters, 102 million, those organizations who know how much it cost for a poster, the ANC campaign and everything else, it would have meant that we still have those posters up until now. It's a lot of money. But not.
All right. I mean, that's enough. We've heard enough.
No, Gareth. Like, where are the think pieces around these posters? How many posters could they have had? How much would each poster have cost?
Well, okay, so 102 million. I mean, you tell me what you think.
I think that the number of posters was actually something like 300,000 posters or something of that sort. Listen.
Okay.
I did already do this calculation. It would have been 3,400 rand a poster.
Wow. I mean, you know what kind, what quality of poster you want for 3,000 odd rand a poster? Holy shit.
Where are the SMSs?
Really?
Like, but okay, seriously though, here's my last very important thing to ponder and a serious question which I cannot believe we haven't read anyone talking about it, and this is what happens when the media favors a particular president. Is what Figile Mbalula is actually saying in that clip is that we are going to see a ANC led by Cyril Ramaphosa that is quite blatantly saying it is willing to defy the courts.
Correct.
That's what he's saying. Clearly, he's saying they have had two court judgments, but it will never happen. So that's what he's saying.
Care. Yeah, correct.
So interesting
times. He's allowed to say that and get away with it, which is just mind-boggling because we talk about a separation of powers in this country, the judiciary, legislature. I had the IEC in on Tuesday, and they were telling me, you know, how important it is that we're a constitutional democracy and all that stuff. Well, clearly not to Fikile and to Cyril. They're not interested in that stuff. Right?
But we are being let down by the third estate. They should be, they really should be holding their feet to the fire
fourth.
Here. And I mean, it's fourth, sorry. What did I say? You see, third
you
Wednesday.
Said the third estate.
Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. But yeah, these are the things that we should be really paying attention to.
Here's something quite interesting. So, I don't know if this is true or not, but Congo Chris says that the ANC is finger-pointing at Izzalwini, saying that they bribed some ANC staffers. And what they fail to realize is the correct thing to do is to arrest the staffer for corruption. Of course, they will never do that.
Well, in the court papers, what Izzalwini provided at the court as proof of the work done and the approvals is also a series of SMSs and WhatsApps agreeing to the positions where the posters were being put up, agreeing to the artwork, you know, so all the thumbs ups they've got. Where are those SMSs in the media? Why has nobody called the number that has sent these SMSs? Because all of that is public information. Once it's in court documents, as you know, it's publicly available information. Why have they not called? Why don't we know who sent those SMSs?
Yes.
Who approved these things? Why don't we know those names? We know about Edwin Sodi. We know about, you know, like, there's so many stories here.
But here's what I don't get, right? We've got all these processes in place all over South Africa now to try and stop crooked people from doing crooked things. You know, you have to fill in, and you know this as a business owner, Pubi, you have to fill in tons and tons of paperwork for everything you do. That's just in the private sector, let alone government. The minute you deal with government, you have to do bucket loads of paperwork every time you get R5 out of government or you put R5 into government. Now, what good is all of that if it's possible for people to do all these dodgy deals that we hear about and over and above the systems that are supposed to be in place?
It's not just government, even with the private sector. So even dealing with private companies, you have procurement issues. You have you have hoops to jump through. You have delegations of authority in terms of who can sign off how much. So even it's not just in government, it's even in private sector. Yesterday I was at a, what shop was I in? I don't know. But the there's a guy who wanted to buy a prepaid SIM card. He had his driver's license, and the person on the other side of the till said, no, we can't sell you this. And he was like, but this is, you can use my driver's license, surely. And they said, yeah, but we also need 3 months bank statements. Which
is, you're joking.
Which is not true, right? All they really need is they need his proof of address. But that person on the other side of the till telling this poor guy, I need 3 months bank statements from you to buy a prepaid SIM card.
That's ridiculous.
Tells you how much regulation we live with. And people are aware of it on a day-to-day, but here we are.
And it, all it does is slow down actual business. Because if you spend most of your time, if you're the kind of person who does a lot of things in a day, you're a trader, you've got important things happening, and you need to cut through the bureaucracy, the red tape, the paperwork, you obviously are going to be stuck with less time to do the actual business, because all this stuff is taking away your concentration and your resources. It's stupid. And for what? We know it's not like they're using Fika to track down crooks, right? So I'm gonna put this up because I know it'll irritate you. I don't know, I haven't fact checked this yet. I wouldn't know how to. Someone sent this to me. We were talking about Woolworths earlier this week. Tell me if you think this is true. Woolworths COO Sam Ngumeni took home 97.14 million rand for the year. That's an increase of 323% from what he received in 2022. That's 266,000 rand a day, if you do the calculations. You think that's about right?
Yeah, we've had this conversation about CEO pay. That's C-suite.
I mean, that's
nice job if you can insane. Do it. In fact, we spoke about this when the numbers for the CEO, I think she's now left, when her bonus and take-home pay. And that was when everybody was in an uproar about the fact that 6 liters of milk at Woolworths was 116 rand. So,
well, you've got to pay these executives.
How are you
going
to pay this 266?
Yeah.
And that's actually shame, man, very low compared to other C-suite executives as we've seen over the past couple of years.
Shame. So you think he's underdone?
Shame, man. Shame.
Jesus, 266,000 rand a day. I mean, please. What? I mean, it's not as if this guy is changing the world of retail.
Shame, man.
Anyway, someone said that to me.
He is shame.
For him. Tracy says, I love this. I can't do a corporate photo shoot with a JSE-listed company without complying and completing a mountain-high pile of paperwork. Short from giving DNA in a stool sample. No, that's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
And you see, I mean, that's for her to do a photo shoot, for heaven's sake.
Sure.
So here I've got something fun for us this morning, because we've been serious so far. Inevitably on a Thursday,
we have not been serious. It's a serious matter.
Serious matter, but we don't take any of this seriously. So take a look at this quickly. There's some acronyms. This actually came up in Monday's show with Leanne and Bakabantu, where we looked at acronyms that the kids are using now. If you know, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to look at some other ones here. Take a look at this quickly. So we've got some useful ones here. Do you know any of these, Booms?
I know IMHO. I know IOI, that IAM.
It's okay, I'm a medievalist. You knew it's okay, I'm a medievalist. Really?
I didn't know that. That last one, however.
Okay, so let me go through them and then we can let everybody know what they are. TIL means today I learned. So you obviously see a lot of people who find some banal thing like coffee is hot. And then they put today I learned, TIL, coffee is hot. And you're like, shame, you really don't know anything. TLDR is used regularly in business, especially. So people will attach emails and summaries to things. They'll say, too long, didn't read. So, for example, if someone sends you a link, you click on the link and it's like an 8-page article that you have to read in 5 minutes, it's not going to happen. So some people just reply, too long, and then a semicolon, didn't read, DR, TLDR. That one I've seen before, and it's definitely used in all kinds of communication, not just with the kids or on social media. Then there's in my humble opinion, or in my honest opinion, IMHO, which is what Pumi uses occasionally. Very good. FTFY, fixed that for you. I love that, because sometimes someone in the company is really good at solving problems, and there's an email and everyone in the company is copied. We all know how this works, right? And then someone who's worth their 97 million rand a year or whatever says, FTFY, fixed that for you. Done. Problem solved. NSFW, obviously we all know that, not safe for work. That's if you put like filthy stuff on the group WhatsApp message, or you send out an email and you think it's just for your friends and you warn them, not safe for work, because people will open that stuff and it's very embarrassing. Right, Pumi?
Yeah.
Then we got NH and then semicolon SM. Need help, send memes. Now that's good. That's like a cry for help, but in a positive way. Then, one of my favorite ones, although I haven't used it yet, is SSATLOA, which is still sad about the Library of Alexandria.
what would require that kind of a response?
Booms. If you're having a really, really hard day and people are just piling on and there's a lot of complaining, And everybody is just at their wit's end, then what you do is you say, hey guys, SSATLOA, I'm still sad about the Library of Alexandria. And then they'll all go, I mean, if they're good people, they'll reply immediately and they'll go, oh, me too.
Or they'll send you memes. They'll send you memes, exactly. as per the last one.
Correct. There we go. NHSM. Then you get IISS. You know what this is? Lord of the Rings.
That's interesting.
From Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So this is what Gandalf says to Frodo. To Bilbo Baggins. And he comes into his house and he goes, is it secret? Is it safe? So if, for example, there's some big company secret that you are meant to keep, or there's some email that you got that you weren't meant to share with anyone, or there's a bit of gossip, then you have to go up to the staff member who you think may be a leak and go, is it secret? Is it safe? And hopefully they'll shut their goddamn mouths. Then this one is becoming more and more popular. You know, we talked about this not so long ago on the show.
Yeah.
HYTATRET. And guess what? Yesterday, it came up in conversation, the Roman Empire. Have you thought about the Roman Empire today? H-Y-T-A-T-R-E-T. Have you thought about the Roman Empire today? And of course, every self-respecting man in the world will say yes, at least once a day.
At least once a day. There are many in our day-to-day lives, especially with the conflict now in the Middle East again.
Yeah.
Oh, we're thinking about that Roman Empire.
Big time. We always think about the decline and fall of an empire because it reminds us of our place in history. These are big things that big thinkers think. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the last one.
This one.
I don't know whether this is, I don't know if this is an acronym that many of us use. SWLIPSINBFASOG. Don't even try to write that down. I'll explain it to you in a second, and you can back engineer this one. If you've ever watched Monty Python, I think it's from The Last Crusade. The Search for the Holy Grail. Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail. There is a scene where King Arthur finds this peasant woman who's busy digging. Peasant man who's busy digging in the peat. And he says to him, old woman. He goes,
man.
He goes, old man, I'm not old. He says, well, how old are you?
I'm 37.
And this is how the conversation starts. And then eventually the peasant who's digging and rummaging around in the mud says,
who are you?
He goes, I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Who? King of the who's?
King of the Britons.
King of the
You're
what?
A Briton, and we are all Britain. Anyway, they eventually get to this question. And if you're a fan of Monty Python, you'll love this already. But they get to this point where they talk about how he became king. Because this peasant is like, you're not my king. He goes, yes, I am. And then he says, but how did you become king? So he says, well, the lady of the lake, her arm clad in the most shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur, the sword, from the bosom of the water, thereby signifying that I, Arthur, would be king of the Britons. And this guy goes, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Which is the acronym? SWLIPSINBFASOG. So strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government is a great acronym. If you find yourself able to use that acronym on a daily basis or even once every 1,000 years, use it. Right, Booms?
It's right. It's funny because it's true.
Damn straight. I want to add one that I use with one of my friends often. And we talk about it's good to be the king, right? So it could be IGTBTK. It's good to be the king. And that comes from Mel Brooks's History of the World, where he's got King Louis the 16th, who's going around. He basically humps all the women in the court. He does what he wants. He chases someone away. He pisses in a pot. And then all he does is he looks at the camera like this and he goes, it's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king.
And it winks. And that's a great line to use too. So if you're having a particularly good day, things are going your way, you've made some decisions, you've asserted your dominance over society, you go, it's good to be the king. That's what you need to do. Do you have any others that you use?
No, I don't use lots of acronyms, dude. I don't use lots of acronyms. None. And I'm serious.
Are you joking? I went to a company the other day. I was sitting in one of their presentations. They had so many acronyms that I'm surprised they had space for anything else. The acronyms were piled high to the roof. You know when people talk about KPIs and ROI and you know these things, that they, this lingo they use in corporations?
WTF.
I promise you.
Look,
there's a whole language. There's a language that gets spoken in corporate South Africa that the rest of us who are not in that world don't even understand.
And it's also different for different types of corporations. So depending on the
big
sector,
time.
It's wild out there, yo. It's wild out there.
The finance guys have a whole language of their own. The marketing people have a totally different language. And they all speak.
On the weekend, Kanekho told me that SCUBA is an acronym. What?
For?
I'm going to look it up now. Acronym.
SCUBA.
Yep.
Listen, I have to tell you while you're looking that up.
Underwater breathing apparatus.
Oh, okay. So the actual term, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's not just a made-up word. So I have to tell you quickly, I'm sitting at, there's a conference center just across the road from us here. And I don't know what's going on, but before I even set up for the show this morning at like 5 o'clock, there's some kind of Isxhosa gathering. There are people in traditional garb. There are guys who are wearing the beads, and there are guys who are wearing the, what's that roll with the animal skin with a feather in it that Mangosuthu used to wear? What is it called?
I don't know.
Angas. What is it? What do they call it in Zulu?
The one that the Zulu people wear, umqhele.
Yeah.
Umqhele.
Yeah. But the people, I'll ask permission. I don't want to just put people on camera without their permission.
Are they in the conference center?
There's a whole delegation of them here, all dressed beautifully. I mean, the colors are just amazing. The beaded dresses, the guys are wearing very smart headdresses. I mean, it's really quite impressive.
Maybe
it's, I'll see if I can't ask them what's going on.
Maybe it's a conference that to set out, you know, because it's about to be giddy season down there in the Cape.
Oh, right.
All the amakwets are coming back. So all them giddies. Maybe it's a conference of how
it might
of
be.
The rules and regulations of all of that. Because
like the traditional leaders are getting together.
Maybe it's one of those. Because it's about to go down. Baba, we are a week away from giddy season, right?
Well, it's interesting if that is the case, that a lot of the traditional leaders, if these are all traditional leaders, are quite young then. They're not old people.
Oh wow. That's amazing. Look, we this year, in the course of some of the work that we've done, we have met some really young chiefs. The Tsonga King, Ndwandwe Nxumalo out in Limpopo. He was very young.
Did you just make that up?
No, I'm not. Why would I make this up?
You were like Ndwe, Ndwandwe.
I was trying to think, because I remember it's Zulu, right? Because Tsonga people and Zulu people have a shared history.
Yes.
We met one down in KZN. He's a Mulefe. Remember when I told you about the Sotho tribe in the middle of KZN? Their chief, he's very young. So it's good. It's good because I think that the ones I have met have new ways and ideas that they are thinking about what it means to take the umbato, says Sanele, is what the traditional garb in Xhosa is called.
Umbato.
And it's exciting, I think, to see young people in those positions of leadership in their communities. And I hope they take it seriously. If they're having a conference, you know, maybe they're taking it seriously and thinking through
all right,
things
so,
together.
So here are some pretty cool comments. Carl uses the following acronym, PGOOMOFIAE, which is, please get out of my office. I'm eating.
Stop eating in your office, Carl.
Like
get out of the office and eat somewhere else.
I-G-T-K. It's good to be
it's
the
good
king.
It's good to be
there
the
we
king.
Go. That's Dave. You must use that if you want to. I give permission for everyone who listens to the show to use that one. And so there are lots of people here in the comments talking about the Eastern Cape. Hey. We're not in the Eastern Cape. There's nothing to do with the Eastern Cape this morning. We're not talking about that province at all. I have no time for the Eastern Cape. We're talking about the Western Cape today because I'm here.
Oh, look at that.
I don't want to.
So two people, Yonda in the comments, is saying that it might be an event. Maybe it's a Christmas party and that was the dress.
Might be.
And Justice is saying it might be the Umhlobo Wenene Awards celebration.
Oh, that could be interesting. Okay, I'll look into it. We'll find out just now what's happening. And
until
by the way,
somebody
Bums,
tells
about,
me what it is, I'm going to think it's a conference to get ready for Mgidi season.
In about 7 minutes, we'll be doing our special window seat, which is our travel feature with travel.co.za. And we're going to have lots of fun with this morning because we're going to be talking about the things that happen in travel that you don't expect to happen, those things that go wrong. So I want to talk about, because everybody always talks about when it works. Oh, I had this fantastic holiday. And you know, these days, everyone's on Instagram all the time, showing off how great their holidays are, including me. But I think it's time we get to the truth and we talk about what actually happens when travel goes wrong.
There's a lot of that on TikTok.
Yeah, well, you see, you go on TikTok. I don't. I refuse to become an agent for the Chinese Communist Party.
Eventually, all of us will be.
Right. So Justice says the Mhlobo Wenene Awards. And then someone else here was talking about what it might be too. They might also just be doing their daily stuff, apparently. Culture is celebrated loudly and often in Cape Town. And people regularly just wear traditional garb in their daily lives, which is great. Mm. Why wait for Heritage Day to dress in your, you know, the traditional garb of the English is the suit, right? That doesn't mean that has to be everybody's traditional garb. I mean, look at my shirt today. I'm going a little bit isiXhosa this morning.
Oh, I thought it was festive.
This is from one of our local designers.
Ah, nice.
In South Africa. Yeah. Yes. I bought this about 3 years ago, so forgive me if I can't remember who the designer was. But I sometimes, you know, I like, you wear this overseas and people are like, whoa, that's amazing. And I don't know the first thing about fashion, so you must understand how long it took me to figure this stuff out. All right, so here's a good one. Sanele says, my acronym is Short and Bitter, CT, Coffee Time, and Cape Town, funnily enough. It's coming right up at 7 a.m. Absolutely.
Coffee Time. That is very good. One.
When last did you dress up in traditional garb, Pums?
Oh, it's been a while. Partly because I normally dress up when I go to parties, when I go, you know, so that kind of stuff will always get me out into like traditional, and I've got lots of different ones. What the one that I can't believe I still don't have is the shibelane, which is the tsonga.
Tell me what that is.
It's the tsonga traditional garb. It's what, you know, Shoma Josie?
Yes.
She's always in that like frilly like skirt thing.
Oh, okay.
It's called the shibelane. I can't believe I don't have one of those.
And do you ever go with I don't know what the age limit is on this, but do you ever go to those reed dance ceremonies and you sit and watch because you're not actually participating, but you also have your topless?
Don't have the breasts to go topless, unfortunately. My breasts have been decimated by having just one child. Imagine people who had four.
Oh, you got to check this stuff out. You got. I've often seen the reed dance, and I love the way on TV they try to obscure it. They like get the cameras far away, and you know these girls have got their whole outfit on, and it's only from the bottom down.
Half
right?
The outfit. Because the whole thing about it is that, you know, young nubile virgins. So they all have great tits. I hate it.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's good to be the king, right? Just in case you didn't know where that acronym was going to be applied today, I've just shown you exactly where it's good to be the king.
You know, speaking of bare-breasted young maidens, I saw a picture.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. Let's carry on talking about this for the rest of the show. Go on.
I saw a picture. Because, of course, Mswati was one of the first ones that made this a very popular, reed dances very popular. And I saw a picture the other day. And, you know, Swati men also wear kind of this, the word that most South Africans would know, kanga type cloth, but over the one boob, so that they have one nipple out.
Sure.
You know who was sitting on the floor on a tansi nearby?
No.
Our former deputy president, D.D. Mabuza, also freeing his nipple.
That must have been exciting.
for him. Yeah, but it was quite interesting, you know, because Mpumalanga also has a very big Swati population.
Sure, of course.
Bordering Swaziland. So there was no context to this picture other than somebody just laughing about the fact that he was out there freeing his nipple. But to see Didi Mabuza, we haven't seen or heard of that man in months.
No, he disappeared. But remember, he was very, very badly behaved. And he was our deputy president for a while, nothing except ratchet up expenses. And now suddenly we're meant to just forget that he ever existed. I mean, he would like that because we know he was involved in some skullduggery at the behest of various ANC factions. So it's interesting that he's just quietly gone into the background. I'm very glad you picked up that he was at that ceremony.
It was very interesting to watch, and I wondered what was happening and why he was there, but there he was in his full traditional nipple
very
out
good.
And all.
Okay, so just quickly before we get to our window seat for this morning, so Thabo says, you're reminding me of the great Shaka Ilembe series. Please tell me more about the young maidens and their breasts.
I man.
And then quickly, at least we know our audience take everything very seriously. Very serious. And Tracy says her favorite acronym is BDYD. But did you die? In any situation, that's a good one.
That is a good one, particularly for mothers. This coming, school holidays. I think today is, for most people, today is day one of the school holidays. And it is, as everybody knows, the longest school holiday because it's probably about 40 days between now and the 17th of January.
What are you going to do with the children for 40 days?
And 40 nights. Yes,
now that's like Alibaba and the 40 thieves. Right? 40 days. Isn't 40 days and 40 nights the amount of time that the Israelites spent in the desert?
No, it was 40 years.
40 days and 40 nights. Hang on. Let me just test my Bible knowledge from, like, I'm going to do recall from school times now. We learned that it was the flood that was 40 days and 40 nights.
It is also the fasts are 40 days. So 40 days is,
yes.
40 is a significant number in the Bible. I'm just saying. But did you die?
That's a long time.
BDYD.
But did you die?
BDYD is going to be very important, yes. Especially when it comes to the I'm bored.
Uh-huh. Yes, I'm bored. That's the worst thing. So here quickly, Melissa says, Esh, my homeland. I was there too many times this year. I purposely volunteered to be on call on Christmas to not have to go home. Enjoy the chaos, Sanella. Because they're talking about the Eastern Cape.
Where is the homeland? Ooh.
Angas.
Eastern
okay,
Cape.
I think Jesus was supposedly in the desert for 40 days or so.
Fasting.
And 40 days and 40 nights is the Arabian Nights.
You see,
I wasn't wrong. I just said Alibaba and the 40 thieves, but there's a number, there's this thing about 40, which is a big deal. All right, where are Tracy and Monet? We need them here. I want to get them on to talk about their travel experience.
Maybe they overslept.
No. The Jews spent 40 years looking for a penny that they heard someone drop. Very anti-Semitic, Darren.
Darren?
I mean, really, that's like such an old trope. Skullduggery is a noun that refers to dishonest or deceitful behaviors, cunning schemes or underhanded activities. It implies trickery, manipulation, unscrupulous actions intended to achieve personal gain or advantage, says Dave. Skullduggery, it's a big part of what happens in the ANC. All right, let me get this camera ready for Tracy Monet. They're here for us. And then in the meantime, Pums, can you just take us what we're going to be talking to Pumlani about in the Burning Platform in a couple of minutes?
Listen, Pumlani, I can't wait for Pumlani. He's going to be in the studio. We haven't had him in the studio for a long time. He's going to be in the studio with us, and we're going to be chatting about his book that is just come out. I don't think he's had his launch yet, but his book has just come out that he's written, and it's all of Pumlani's ideas, all of Pumlani's thoughts about I suppose like everybody is doing right now, considering what we need to be doing to fix our country at the moment. So I cannot wait for him to be here and to speak about that. Just the warning, it's not light reading.
No, we'll get to that though just now. Okay, so this is where we do the window seat. This is Monet Dupre, who's the big boss at TTS, that's Tourist Travel Services. And we had a big event last night with all of your retail partners down here in Cape Town and the retail businesses. Tourist, by the way, is enormous. And we've spoken already to a couple of people in the business. But you know those shops in the airports, Pums?
Yeah.
Out of Africa, those shops?
Yes.
They belong to these guys. These guys run all of that too. There are hotels and lodges all over South Africa and outside of South Africa, in Zim, in East Africa, some amazing properties too. But these guys are going to talk today, and here's Tracy, by the way, who does events and marketing for Tourist Travel Services as well. We're going to talk about the stuff that nobody ever talks about, though. This is way more interesting to most people because actually there are funny things that happen in travel, which not everybody is happy to talk about. This doesn't go on the Instagram pictures.
That's because it's like not funny in the moment.
No, I know, but we were talking about this last night, and there were some very funny stories. So I'll just kick it off because the boss of your AHA division, which is your African Hotels and Accommodation division, and there are AHA hotels, but they also do lots of lovely game lodges and things. He was telling us that when he worked in Cape Town in one of the hotels, something that used to happen often, and you got to explain this to me if you know the answer, is guys would order room service. And then the room service would arrive, so they'd eat their food. And for some reason, they'd decide, okay, they want to put the tray outside. So they'd go out of the hotel room, put the tray down, but then the door of the room closes behind them. And for some reason, a lot of these people, either they like to eat naked or they like to, I don't know, take the tray out naked. And then they're stuck outside their room with no clothes on. And then they have to head down to reception, which is very embarrassing. Sometimes there are lots of other people in the hotel, and ask for a new room card. So this has never happened to me, so I'm not sure why people would be eating naked on the bed. I have no idea why people would behave like this, but that's one of the things that apparently happens often in hotels. So Monet, you've traveled all over the world. Monet just went to the Rugby World Cup, among other things, the Ryder Cup. He travels probably more than anyone else I've ever met. What kinds of things have happened to you? And lay it out there. Don't be embarrassed.
So, you know, sometimes I'm very fortunate that I travel in the front of the bus, especially on the newer airlines. You've got a bit of a cabin and the cabin closes.
Yeah.
On these long flights, especially to the US, when you're 15 hours on the flight and you think, I don't have to go to the bathroom. Mm. And you hold it in.
Mm.
But about 9 hours is about the max that you can do it. And you think, I'm just going to squeeze a little one through. And I just lift the side of my leg up like that while I'm lying in my bed. And it comes out rather softly, but it smells not that great. And at that point in time, said cabin crew member puts head over the side like that to see if you'd like something.
Always at the moment that
always
you'd like.
Always at that moment that they get that whiplash in the neck.
Yeah.
So would you like something to
eat? What's this guy been doing here? All right, Trace, what about you?
My best are always my Airbnb experiences.
Airbnb. Okay, because you never know what you're really going to get until you get there.
Yeah, so I think I'm very smart. So, like, you know, saving a buck or two for my personal travel.
Yeah.
And so I book all these amazing little Airbnbs, what I think are amazing, but actually are absolute shitholes. So I'm in the one in Istanbul, and I took two of my friends and colleagues.
Yeah.
And I promise you, there were dead cockroaches like this size, like honestly huge, at the entrance of the property. And on the Airbnb, the photos look amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah, but they always, I mean, even in this country, we were talking about this with Lebang, who Lebang is frequently scammed for some reason. She's obviously she's a moving target for any scammer. Totally. And when people see Lebang, they just see, here's someone we can take or whatever. And she's had like really bad experiences with Airbnb. So it's probably better to go into the hotels. But Graham is actually here, who told us about the guys who get locked out of the rooms naked while they're ordering room service. I mean, if we go into the darker things, because people do like weird stuff in hotels. They go to hotels and they commit suicide. You have to like get rid of bodies. There are also people who go and they would never behave like this in their own home. They abuse the bathroom horrendously.
That's and then what someone you has think. To
take care of that. No, they do, Pumi, they do.
No, I'm saying you think they don't behave like that in their own homes.
Oh, you mean they do behave like that in their own homes? Why we just would, don't see it.
Why would you do something you don't ordinarily do?
Well, listen to this. Tracy says we stayed in a Bosnian B&B in Tasmania. We ended up staying in their bedroom, all of their toiletries in our bathroom, condoms and utility bills in the bedside tables. Oh, no. And we had breakfast with their family.
No way. Sounds lovely. No way.
That sounds lovely. Yeah. Oh, listen to this. Darren says, I'm sitting with Mornay's mother-in-law right now.
Kat. Oh, wow.
She says, hi, Mornay. So you never know who's going to be listening. Right, so what else? What else has happened to you guys? You talk about planes?
Yeah, there's always those type of things. You know, when you think you're gonna pick the bulkhead seat because it's gonna give you that extra leg room. As you go and sit down there, wife on this side with their child, husband on that side with their child, and you know where your seat's going to be.
Middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
2 hours into the plane.
And there's no negotiating.
No negotiating. Projectile vomit from both sides.
Oh!
That's that's really the best. So sometimes those bulkhead seats.
That's horrible. All right. So we've got a couple of other comments here too. People said, Gareth, you must stop walking around naked. Hey, I haven't. So I don't know what you're talking about there, Matthew. How's the hotel business in Zim, says Sanele? How's all of that going? That's actually a good opportunity to boast a little bit
about
what's happening.
That's absolutely fantastic.
There.
I mean, our Wild Horizons business is unbelievable. So it's probably one of the better world machines within the two of his fold. We've got three lodges all in close proximity, quite a lot of activities, and the Lookout Cafe, which is probably one of the better restaurants.
Gareth, something's happened to your camera.
Unbelievable. I think they're running occupancy close to 90-95%. So that's really, amazing. Really, really, really good. Big Falls is definitely a destination on its own. So it might be located in Zim, but really it's an absolute paradise. So those of you that haven't gone there, you know, please go and pop around. Jump onto YouTube, go and have a look at some of our videos. And I think, Gareth, in some of your previous podcasts, you've actually highlighted your stay that you had with us there.
Yeah, it was amazing. But you've got properties here in Cape Town with Wild Horizons too. In fact, we gave away some prizes last night, so which are pretty cool. Abseiling off Table Mountain, yeah. Pumi. Yeah. No, there's a lot of stuff happening.
That's amazing.
Shark cage diving. So Wild Horizons is really in the South African sphere, very much an activities-driven business.
Sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's just, while we're talking about the business, because I think this is interesting to a lot of people, what kind of a year has Tourvest had? I mean, you guys get to work the hardest while we're all on holiday. Mm-hmm. December comes along. It's not like it's the end of the year for you. For you guys, it's like right in the middle of what you're doing. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So, you know, the greater Tourvest, you know, we've been very, very fortunate that after COVID, you know, things have jumped back. Quite amazing, and we ended up having our record year. Our year end was at the end of August, so we ended up having a record year. We're almost 4 months now into our new financial year, and I've got to say, touch wood, you know, things are all
that's fantastic.
All still going
that's
up. Wonderful. So
I mean, again, can you imagine if we had this conversation while we were in COVID? I don't think anyone would have predicted that.
Mm. No, definitely not. I think, you know, fortunately, and I don't necessarily think it's for all the South African tourism businesses. But definitely, we've been lucky that we've outgrown 2019. And people keep on hopping on 2019 and jumping back to those days. I think it's now long gone. We must stop talking about that.
Agreed.
Start looking forward. But for us, great Agreed. Guns.
All right.
I
so
have one question.
We're
one question, though. One question before they go. About.
Go ahead.
So what to do? What do you do in situations where it's all going apeshape? When you're in funny country, whatever, they don't speak your language. How do you salvage your holiday?
So, Pumi wants to know, if things go really horribly wrong, are there ways to salvage a terrible holiday? Let's say everybody gets sick. Let's say the bookings are a disaster.
The Airbnb's got dead cockroaches.
Yeah, the Airbnb's got dead cockroaches, all of this stuff. So what do you do to salvage a really cuck situation? What's that?
Money helps.
Money. Money yeah. helps.
Having money.
And you probably have to just drink and make the best of a cuck situation.
I mean, people get sick. They get sick. There's nothing you can do with it that you just got to get through. But like the Airbnb situation that I went to in Paris with Graham, I mean, you had to go through four doors before you could get to your apartment. It was in such a cuck area. And then you go, no, we're not staying here, and you have the money to find a hotel. So if you don't have extra cash, you're screwed. So
yeah. So actually just take extra money. And if you can't afford to travel, don't travel at this point, because if you end up in trouble, it's gonna be a lot worse.
And a good attitude helps.
Good attitude. Yeah, Pumi, just get your attitude right. That's exactly the advice you need. You'll figure it out if you have the right attitude.
If you have money, you always have the right attitude.
Correct. So somebody says here, KNA says, I fainted on a street in Hanoi. Woke up with a crowd of Vietnamese people looking at me like I was a foreign species. Well, who knows what you were doing while you'd fainted, right?
That is hectic.
Oh, that's dodgy. All right, I love it. But obviously, we're talking about those very rare occasions where things go horribly wrong or when you do something embarrassing. Most of the time, this is what people spend their whole year saving up for. This is what they look forward to. And obviously, there are lots and lots of people who are already planning their travel for next year. They're already looking at what else they can do in order to give themselves a little break. Go to travel.co.za for all the very best destinations, all the very best offers and flights, accommodation, and everything else that you need to know. And we will be checking in with the window seat early in 2024, which is only a couple of days away. Everybody always thinks there's this long gap somewhere between December and January. There's no such thing.
Before you know it, it's long days. Yeah. It's long days, lounging, drinking, eating.
I know, it's ridiculous. Well, listen, thank you, Monet. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
I don't know what happened to my camera somewhere in the middle of that, but we'll figure it out. And Pums, we'll be back with a burning platform next. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. It is a Thursday morning. Plenty of good stuff still to come. CliffCentral.com.